Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I am Zach.
And we are back. It's Friday. It's the end of the week.
Happy, happy Friday.
And we're in our goop bath. Oof.
You know, sometimes it looks nice. I could go for a goop bath.
Do you think the goop bath is like a sensory deprivation chamber where like you are?
Ooh, could be.
Just like completely like floating in the goop instead of just like sitting in water.
If so, that makes it all the more appealing to me. Have you ever done a sensory deprivation?
No, I'm claustrophobic, so that sounds like absolute hell to me.
Okay. I would love to do one.
I'm simultaneously claustrophobic and agoraphobic.
Oh. So like a medium-sized room is perfect for you?
My office is perfect for me. It's dark. Room. It's quiet. Yeah.
And it's got a window you can open if you ever need to.
If I need to.
If you need to. Yep.
Which is not often.
I would love to do a sensory deprivation tank. I'm pretty sure they're not crazy expensive. And we have a number of them in the city, so maybe I'll do that one day.
I don't think I'm as agoraphobic as it is. I just don't like crowds, and I know that that's a different phobia.
It is, and
we've talked about it on the podcast before.
I cannot remember the name of it.
Anyways, this is minute 49 through 50.
Gosh, we're almost at an hour.
I know, dude. It's fucking crazy. We're almost at an hour. We just had our 200th episode a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
A lot of milestones.
We're just taking down milestones left and right.
Yeah. We left off with Vladimir Harkonnen telling Rabin to get his shit together, basically.
Yes. Yep.
And Rabin's response was, uncle. Like he was going to, you know, retort. And we pick this minute up with, or feel mine on your neck.
Yes.
Which is, tighten your grip, Rabin, or feel mine on your neck.
Yeah. You know, for all the Baron's many faults.
He is very direct.
And he knows how to fucking intimidate.
Yep.
And how to turn a phrase.
And we talked a little bit yesterday about how Valia would, if she would recognize her family. Mm-hmm. And I think that right there would be the recognition that she would see.
Yeah. Which is intelligence.
Yeah.
They're incredibly smart. Well, he is incredibly smart.
Yeah. Rabin, not so much.
There's some term that he used for Rabin, basically calling him like a blunt tool.
Yeah. But then
Rabin's just standing there like a dummy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of like when your parents yell at you and you can't do anything but just stand there.
Yeah.
So.
Fair enough.
Vladimir sinks back into the goop, and then we cut to a much more peaceful view.
Yeah, yeah.
We're back out in the open desert, and we've got it's dawn at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The sun is just beginning to, you know, creep up over the horizon, and we've got a bunch of still tents in a low spot between some dunes.
Yeah, and a couple people wander in amongst them.
Sure. If anyone's ever gone camping, you know that there's this one motherfucker that always gets up stupid early and you just hear them walking around the campsite doing all their shit outside, not pointing any fingers.
Hi, that's me. Yeah, normally it's because I have to pee. And if I'm getting up out of your tent. Well, if I'm in my house and I have to wake up early in the morning and go pee, I'm just going to go back to sleep, whatever. Yeah. But if I have to go through the whole ordeal of putting shoes on and getting out of the tent and everything else, my ass is staying up.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I'm going to start my coffee and read my book, which is a wonderful way of waking up.
The best part of waking up is Maxwell House in your cup.
what coffee do we? We use Chock Full of Nuts.
I don't drink coffee, so... I couldn't tell you.
Yeah. I mean, I have not had coffee in months and months and months, but my, the gross ass coffee that usually stays with my kitchen supplies on my camping gear is a can of Chock Full of Nuts.
All right.
I think that's what it's called.
I feel like you're required to have stale coffee whenever you go camping.
It's whatever. It's going to be made in a shitty French press.
Yeah.
That's just like the shitty French press attachment to my Jetboil. It's not going to be good, but it's going to be sufficient.
If you're a coffee person and you hate us for talking shit, Let us
no,
know.
No, no, I'm calling it shit. I'm calling what I'm doing terrible, but right. It does what it's supposed to do. It almost makes me think that I mean, taking a pack of instant coffee is almost better. That's just not bad. Just boil the water, pour it in, stir. It's fine. You're going for utility versus luxury out there.
Fair.
Anyways, yes, we, from this outside shot of the tents, we cut into an ECU of Paul as he's sleeping. That is an extreme close up.
Extreme close up. Whoa.
And he's kind of like tossing and turning a little bit, groaning, moaning, clearly having a bad dream. And Chani's beside him and tries to wake him up with a couple of oosel oosels. It's okay. And he like gasps awake, like sleep apnea gasps awake. Yeah, exactly. and sits up, puts his hand on Chani's face. And she says, I'm here. I'm here.
It's been a while since Paul's had one of these nightmares, according to her. And yeah. She, you know, asks him what's going on and everything. And we have, for the first time since Dune Part 1, since the very early stages of Dune Part 1, Paul recounting a dream rather than just having a spice-induced vision. Though you could argue that this is spice-induced because they've been out in the desert for months.
And I would further argue that there has never been a difference between them. He's always had these visions. The spice just makes them.
It heightens. Elevates them.
Yeah, it's heightened. So this, I'm going to be in the camp of this is the same type of vision that he's had since Gaius Helen Moheim grilled him back in the Gom Jabbar sequence.
Sure. But he says that nothing's clear. He only sees fragments of things happening. But he's in the south and he's following someone. Now, what we're seeing at this point is everything above the ground is blurry. We only see the details of the cracked earth and the dryness of the desert. But there is the silhouette of a woman walking away.
Yeah.
Her dress and hair are blowing in the wind. And we end the minute with a closer view of this same silhouetted woman from behind. We can't see her face.
Yeah.
We just see her hair. Notably, it is not Chani because it is not the curly hair that Chani has.
It looks a whole hell of a lot like Jessica to me.
It does.
We have no confirmation, but just given the shape of the body, the shape of the hair, or the texture of the hair, you know, height, whatever, that it looks like Jessica to me.
Yep.
I don't know if you caught this, but J.J. Abrams snuck back into the editing booth and there's a lot of lens flare. A
lot of lens flare and weird, you know, in and out of focusness because it's a dream that Paul has.
Yep. This looked like it was in Star Trek 2009.
And unfortunately, that's where our minute ends.
Yeah. A little spooky almost.
Ooh.
So we're getting like ominous music, obviously. You're here. This is the, had this been clearer of a vision, I would have called it sepia tone Mexico vision. Like we got in movie one.
Yep. It's kind of sepia tone.
It is. Mexico. It is, but it's not, we didn't see the tumbleweeds and hear the, ooh, woo music or whatever.
Yeah. So, fair.
It's a vision of someone walking through the desert.
Yeah. Paul's in the south, the dirty, dirty south.
Cool, man. I don't have anything else for this. So I think we should jump into what we do every week.
Shai Halludes?
Yes. Shai Halludes. Let's rate the week. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I'm going to say, especially after last week, this one's kind of a we're filling time to make a movie week to me. And I appreciate the budding romance and relationship between Paul and Chani, but like substance wise, there's not a ton. It's cool that we got to see Rabin and Vladimir and, you know, just the ruthlessness there. And I think that saves a lot of this week for me. The cool action sequence that we had of the harvesters dropping, but I think I'm still at like a 6.
Okay.
5.5 or 6.
Okay. Fair enough. So I enjoyed I enjoyed this week. Now, maybe I enjoyed talking about this week more than the actual substance of the movie.
Yes, I did too.
Because this was a fun week of episodes that we've done.
Very unhinged week of episodes that we've done.
So that makes me want to kick the rating up. But let me divorce myself from us talking about it and not rating the Dune Minute podcast, but rating the actual movie itself.
Oh, if we were rating the Dune Minute podcast, 10 shy haluts every week.
10 out of 10, baby.
Yeah. Even the weeks where we kind of phone it in sometimes because there's not a lot to talk about.
Well, yeah. Those are still 10 out of 10s.
Yeah.
We get the necessary romance, finally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important romance. It's important to know that Paul and Chani have a more than friends relationship. It is a
they were roommates.
It is of a romantic nature.
Yeah.
And that's going to be something super important for the rest of the story. So it is where we get it a little bit more explicitly in the book, a little bit sooner, I should say, in the books.
Yep.
We finally get it here. And I think they did a really good job of giving you little spice morsels of it, like throughout this entire movie.
Sure.
And it finally built to its crescendo and our kissometer broke. And we got the kiss that we've all been waiting for. At one point, I don't think we talked about it too much, but at one point, did you see Paul, his jaw actually dropped to the ground and his tongue unrolled and
his eyes just like,
popped out of his mouth and he went, awooga, awooga. So yeah, that was we didn't really talk about it too much. But,
yeah.
Was it the overpronunciation of awooga?
It was just the like matter of fact dry awooga awooga. We've had some jokes this week.
Yeah. Anyways, so again, our episodes have been better than this week of movie minutes have been.
Balls will be bad, baby.
So I don't. But I'm still gonna say this was a good week. So it was coming up at like a 6.5 to 7 to me, okay. Like in that range. Not the best, I understand. But we got Naked Baron.
We did get some Baron ass.
We got the Baron ass.
Baron ass.
Yeah. We got Raban and some goons.
Rabbit. Hooded and unhooded.
Yep. Hooded and unhooded goons. We got Lay's guns.
On a grassy knoll.
On a grassy knoll. Yeah, the book depository. Is it repository?
Depository. Repository.
Is the thing you shove up your ass.
No, that's a suppository. So
suppository.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, a lot of ositories that I can get mixed up.
Make sure you get it right.
So we got that. The romance was, of course, everything I just talked about. So, yeah, 6.5, 7. I thought it was a good week of movie.
All right.
Cool. Anything else from your end before we wrap it all up?
Nothing on mine. I believe we have a week of you and I next week. So we'll just come back to it and talk more about Dune Part 2 next week.
All right, cool.
As always, you can find us online. We are in a couple different places. On Blue Sky, we are at DuneMinute.com. And you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us. Feel free to share the show with your friends. If you're on Apple Podcasts, give the show a rating. Give it some comments if you want. We'll be back on Monday with more of the Dune Minute.
See ya.
See ya.